apartment, I can't stop looking at my own with new eyes. It's so drab. White walls, beige carpet, the couch a nondescript color in between. No patterned rugs or framed paintings. I shower and put on makeup, which is ridiculous. Why would I spray perfume onto my cleavage? Or put on my nice jeans? There's no one here to see me or smell me. I've got nowhere to go. It's been so long since I've had someone in the city I could call. I sit down and my knee is bouncing. My insides are crawling. I feel like a magnet, shaking with the need to move. Is this how addicts feel? I am beginning to realize what's happening, but I can't admit it to myself. Not yet. Has holding a phone and looking at a contact name ever been this terrifying? Joshua Templeman. I should be sitting here looking at Danny Fletcher. I should be giving Danny a call, asking him to meet me for a movie or a bite to eat. We could plot and plan my project. He's my new friend. He'd meet me wherever I asked in 20 minutes. I bet he would. I'm dressed. I'm ready. But I don't. Instead, I do something I don't think I've ever done. I hit the call button. Immediately, I hang up and throw my phone onto the bed like a grenade. I wipe my damp palms on my thighs and let out a wheezing breath. My phone begins to ring. Incoming, Joshua Templeman. Oh, hi, I manage to say lightly when I answer. I grind the heel of my hand into my temple. I have no dignity. I had a missed call. It rang once. There's loud, pulsing music in the background. He's probably swilling liquor in a bar, surrounded by tall models in stretchy white dresses. You're busy. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. I'm at the gym. Cardio. Weights. I do weights at night. The response implies he does cardio another time. He makes a faint grunt, and then I hear a heavy metal clang. So, what's up? Don't tell me you pocket dialed me. No. There's no point in pretending. Interesting. There's a muffled clothing sound, maybe a towel, and then a door closes. The obnoxious, pulsing music gets quieter. I'm outside now. I don't know if I've ever seen your name on my caller ID. Something happened at work? I know. I was thinking that too. There is a loaded pause. No, it's not work-related. That's a shame. I was hoping Bexley had a fatal embolism. I make an amused honk. Then I fidget. I was calling because I haven't seen you today. I've been feeling mixed up and desperately sad, and for some reason seeing you might help the weird pain in my chest. I don't have friends, except for you. Except you're not. Yes. He is not helping me out at all. I'm hungry, and I have no food, and I haven't got any tea, and my apartment is cold, and I'm bored. What a very sad little life. You've got lots of food and tea, and your heating is better than mine, and I... There's nothing but silence. I'm not bored when I'm with you. I'm mortified. But I'd better just... He cuts me off. Better come over, then. Relief floods through me. Should I bring something? What would you bring? I could grab some food on the way. No, it's okay. I've got something to cook. Do you want me to pick you up? I'd better drive myself. Probably safer. We both know why. It'd be too easy for me to stay the night otherwise. I'm already holding my purse, coat, and keys. My feet are in shoes. I'm locking my door and jogging down the hall to the elevator. Will you show me the muscles you worked on? I thought you wanted me for more than that. I can hear a car start. At least I'm not the only impatient one. Race you there. I want to see you all sweaty. We need to get even. Give me half an hour. No, an hour. He's alarmed. I'll wait for you in the lobby. Do not leave now. See you soon. I reply and hang up. I start laughing when I start my car and pull out into traffic. It's a new game, The racing game, with two cars at different points on a city grid, speeding toward a central location. It's scary how I want to be in his apartment on his couch so badly I'm jiggling my knee impatiently at red lights. I bet anything he's doing the same. When I'm jogging up the sidewalk to the entrance to his building, I've basically exhausted all of my weak excuses, caveats, reasoning, and we're down to this. I run into the lobby. I haven't seen Josh all day, and I miss him. The elevator has an up arrow above it. I hold my breath. It bings. He couldn't imagine you with anyone but himself. The doors snap open, and there he is. Chapter 16. He's ruffled and sweaty, weighed down by gym gear. His brow creases when he spots me, his eyes unsure. He puts a hand out to hold the elevator door. My heart bursts. "I won!" I scream as I run at him. He has enough time to put out his arms as I jump. He hits the back wall with a grunt as I manage to get my arms and legs around him. The doors slide closed, and he manages to hit the button for his floor. I think technically I won. I was in the building first. I hear him say over my head, "I won, I won," I repeat until he laughs and concedes, "Okay, you won." His sweat smells like rainwater and cedar, leaving a faint rosemary pine tingle in my nostrils. I press my face against his neck and breathe in, again and again, until the elevator bings, and we're on the fourth floor. I try to muster up the strength to let him go, but the addictive press of our bodies together is stronger than my willpower. "Okay, then." He begins to walk down the hallway. I'm clinging like a koala to his front, coat flapping, my bag bumping against his gym bag. I hope he doesn't bump into any neighbors. I lean back enough to see his face and see amusement shining in his eyes as he puts down his bag beside his door and begins sorting through his keys. Every man should get a welcome home like that. "Don't mind me. Go about your business." I hug harder. His collarbone fits nicely under my cheekbone. He's wearing a hoodie, and his body feels humid and damp. I hear him drop his gym gear into the basket. He toes off his sneakers, which seems a little bit more difficult, and he takes my bag. He presses a button on the heating control. "Seriously, just pretend I'm not here." He walks us into the kitchen and bends to look in the refrigerator, making me grip tighter. He fills a glass, and I press my ear to his neck to listen to him swallow. I tighten my legs around him, and he slides a hand to my butt and squeezes it once in a friendly way. Then he gives it a slap. "Ow, what's in your pocket?" "Oh," I remember now and feel like a nerd. I slither down to my feet. "It's nothing. It hurt my hand." He pulls the lumpy shape out of my pocket and cranes to see what he's found. "It's a Smurf." "Of course. What else would you fill your pockets with? Why does it have a bow on it?" "I have, like, 10 of him. It's Grouchy Smurf." "If I didn't know how much you adore Smurfs, I'd be insulted." His mouth quirks, and I know I've pleased him. "So what's with the Smurfs, anyway?" "My dad had a regular delivery over the state line. He'd leave before dawn and be back after I went to bed. He always bought me a Smurf at the gas station on the way home." "So they remind you of your dad. That's nice." "It meant that he was thinking of me." I shuffle on the spot. "Well, thank you for thinking of me." "Well, you gave me something of yours, so we're even." "Is that so important, being even?" "Of course." I notice he has a little whiteboard with a weekly meal plan. He's such a freak. "Okay, well, you're clean, and I'm not. I need a shower." "How do you smell so good after the gym?" I go into the living room and throw myself down onto the couch with a groan. I sink into it like it's made of memory foam. "Hello, Lucy," the couch tells me. "I knew you'd be back." "I didn't think I did," he replies from the kitchen. I'm hearing water boiling and the fridge opening and teaspoon clinking. "You do." I pat around for the ribbon cushion. like a muscly pine cone. I think it's my soap. Mom gives it to me in bulk. She likes making care packages. He appears, upside down, and I see a slice of heavy bare shoulder revealed by his hoodie sliding off. He's wearing a tank under there. My mouth puddles with drool. He puts a mug near me and hands me the cushion. Take the hoodie off, please. I'll only look with my eyes. He puts his finger on the zip, and I bite my lip. Then he zips it up to his neck as high as it will go, and I howl. Drink your tea, you little pervert. He tosses something on my stomach. He shuts his bedroom door, and after a minute, I hear the shower. I hold up a box. It's a packaged matchbox car. I can't help feeling like it's a reproach. Isn't being wanted for his body a man's dream? I put the ribbon pillow under my neck. It's a little black car this time, quite similar to his. Is this what he did on his day off? Go and buy me a toy? I open the pack and drive the tiny car in my stomach for a while. I imagine him in the shower with his bar of soap, like the little perv I am. As predictably as night follows day, I begin to fret as the minutes pass. I don't know why I'm here again. All I know is this couch is my new favorite place on earth. I should put my shoes on and leave. I touch the side of my mug. Not cool enough to drink. I need to start behaving normally. I got a little overexcited. I think about what kind of girls he probably dates. Tall, cool blondes. I feel it in my tiny, undersized brunette bones. I remember once going to a club with Val, back in the day when I actually did things, before the merger, before the loneliness. We saw these bored, beautiful, icy girls. They were standing beside the bar, ignoring all the men who approached them. Val and I spent the rest of the night imitating them on the dance floor, striking aloof poses and making each other laugh with fierce, steely glances. I might try it now. When his bedroom door opens and he appears again, I am a mature young woman, legs elegantly crossed, flipping through a medical textbook, sipping my tea. He's got on some soft black sweats, a black t-shirt, and nice bare feet. Can't he have a flaw? He sits on the edge of the couch, his hair damp and ruffled in every direction. I turn the page and, unfortunately, a lurid diagram of an erect penis glares up at me. I am trying to be a bit more normal. He looks at the page. How's it working out so far? I'm glad this isn't a pop-up book. He huffs in amusement. I follow him to the kitchen and watch him cut vegetables into ridiculously neat little sticks. Omelette okay? I nod and glance at his whiteboard. Tuesday. Omelette. I look at what's for dinner for the rest of the week. I wonder how I can score an invitation back. Can I do anything? He shakes his head, and I watch him crack 6 eggs into a metal bowl. So how was work? You clearly missed me. I put my hands on my face in embarrassment, and he just laughs a bit to himself. It was boring. It's the truth. No one to antagonize, huh? I tried abusing some of the gentle folk in payroll, but they got all teary. The trick is to find that one person who can give it back as good as they can take it. He takes out a pan and begins to fry the vegetables in a single, stingy drop of oil. Sonia Rutherford, probably. That scary lady in the mailroom that looks like an albino Morticia Adams. Don't line my replacement up too quick. You'll hurt my feelings. The reminder of the likely outcome of this entire scenario makes me decide to lean against him. The middle of his back is the most perfectly ergonomic place to hide my face. When it all comes to an end, I'm going to remember this. You gotta tell me why you're here. I got a bit sad today, thinking about everything changing. Dr. Josh diagnoses you with Stockholm Syndrome. I know, right? I snuggle my cheek into the muscle. Maybe you fear change, rather than the prospect of sitting alone in there. I appreciate he hasn't automatically said I'd be out job hunting. I kept thinking about your blue bedroom. I feel like this is something we need to discuss before time runs out. I hear the deep sizzle of the egg being added to the vegetables. He covers the pan and turns. You're the sort of person who needs to be eased into things slowly. I open my mouth to protest, but he silences me. I know you, Luce. And you do. Your freakouts are pretty impressive. Imagine we have sex right now. Right here on the counter. He slaps his hand down firmly on it. You'd be so awkward afterward. You'd never speak to me again. You'd quit ahead of the interviews and go and live in the forest. Why would you care? I'd like to live in a forest. I need you to compete with me. And maybe we can find a scenario that doesn't involve running out of time. He sighs and checks the omelet. Do you have one-night stands? Like, do you go to clubs and pick out some hot guy and take him home with you? Even as he asks the question, his face grimaces. Maybe I'm not the only one who can imagine faceless suitors. Of course not. Unless you count. And I can't even get one night. He lightly rubs his palm across my shoulders, as kindly as a friend, and all the wiring holding my muscles together gets an inch looser. I step closer and lean all my weight against him. When I press my cheek on his chest, his heat glows against me. I'm trying to make sure that when we do, you don't have any regrets. I doubt I would. I'm flattered. He peeks in at the omelet. Go back to the couch. Put the TV on. I drop myself into the plush perfection of his couch. I'm going to transform my igloo into a safe, warm little stronghold, too. I need lamps, rugs, more shelves, and a painting of Tuscany. I need buckets of paint and a pale blue bedroom. White linen and a fern. Where'd you get this couch? I want to get the same one. It's the only one on Earth. His dry voice floats out from the kitchen. Can I buy it from you? No. What about this ribbon cushion? One of a kind. I think I see your strategy. I watch TV for a bit, and Josh hands me a plate and a fork. I'm like a little duchess when I'm here. You don't have to wait on me. I kick my shoes off under his coffee table. Some horrible monsters secretly enjoy spoiling little duchesses. Should we aim for a 2-hour ceasefire? Starting now? Sure, let's do it. Yum, this looks good. I can smell fresh basil. How is he still single? We watch the news and he takes my empty plate. Then he gives me a bowl of vanilla ice cream. He doesn't have one for himself. Why even bother keeping any in your freezer? In case I have unexpected sweet tooth visitors. I can't help but grin at the thought. It wouldn't destroy those abs to have one little spoonful. It's protein, right? He looks at the bowl and sighs. He takes my spoon from me and steals a huge mouthful. Oh, Lord. His eyelids flutter. You should treat yourself to something small each night. No point in being cruel to yourself. Something small, huh? He looks at me pointedly. Okay. I take another mouthful of ice cream. The spoon slides against my tongue, and the intimacy of it is obscene. His tongue, my tongue. I lick it, and he watches me, chest expanding, breath leaving him in a rush. He unfolds a fluffy gray blanket over me, and I lie there like a spoiled child. He sits at the far end, near my feet, and I stare at his side profile as he leans forward on the edge of the couch and picks up the medical textbook. You look sad. I'm happy. His expression changes to faint surprise. Weird. Why do you still have those textbooks? This one has so many dicks in it. I was originally going to go into the family trade. I haven't managed to part with them, I guess. And a lot of them are my mother's. They're pretty old, but she wanted me to have them. He flips to the flyleaf and traces his finger across her handwritten name. I want to ask about his parents, but if I know Josh, he's on the verge of shutting down. Dr. Josh, M.D. You would have been a sexy doctor. Oh, definitely. He discards the book and clicks around with the remote. All your lady patients would have had pounding heart rates. He takes my empty bowl. He kisses the little hinge of my jaw until I gasp, and then finds the pulse point in my wrist expertly. Let's see. Think about me in a white coat, sliding a stethoscope into the neck of your blouse. I can almost feel the freezing cold disc pressed against me. I shiver, and I feel my nipples begin to pinch. You're giving me a brand new kink. I say it like a smartass, but he smiles. I could probably work with that. My mind leaps to what our theoretical sex life would be like. We're playing games with each other all day. It stands to reason they'd carry on in bed. The image hits me so powerfully I feel my body squeeze, empty and wanting. His voice against the back of my ear as we stand in the doorway to his beautiful bedroom. What shall we play now? I'd pretend to be sick every single night. Every night. He's still checking my pulse, staring at his watch, his lips moving as he counts. It's so sexy, I know it beats faster. Eventually, he releases me. Quite a pounding little heart you got there. And a raging case of horny eye. I think it's quite serious. Will I die? I prescribe complete couch rest under my supervision, but it's touch and go. I'd make a sleazy joke about your bedside manner, but it would be a little redundant at this point. I snuggle back down under my blanket. Can you even imagine my bedside manner? I'd be the worst. I'd scare people into health. Is that why you didn't want to be a doctor? Because you hate people? It didn't work out. His voice gets hard. Was there anything you enjoyed about it? I enjoyed most of it. I was good at the theory component. I've got a good memory. And I don't hate all people. Just most people. And what about the practical component? Did you have a bad experience? Did they make you put your finger up someone's butt? He laughs, even as his nose wrinkles in distaste. You don't start on live people. And you don't start on butts. What kind of mind thinks of that? Cadavers. I bet you saw cadavers. What was it like? I think of all the autopsy scenes in Law and Order. This one time, my dad, he hesitates, looking away, considering. I don't push him, and after a long silence, he continues. My dad, in his wisdom, decided to set me up on a bit of informal work experience at his hospital. In the break before I started college. Some of it was okay. Mainly I was passed around by a few doctors who all seemed too exhausted to say no to him. But one afternoon he slaps me on the back, introduces one of the coroners, and leaves us to it. I am starting to feel terrible. You don't have to tell me if it's hard. No, it's okay. I guess it was the ultimate baptism of fire. I made it through about 5 minutes before I threw up. The smell of dead person and chemicals. It left a taste in my mouth. Probably why I started eating all these mints. Sometimes I can't get the smell out of my nose, and it's been years. He lifts my arm and presses my wrist to his nose. Your skin smells like candy. Up until that point, it was a given I'd study medicine. My great-great-grandfather was a doctor, and it's always been the Templeman chosen vocation. But after seeing someone's rib cage get jacked open, it was the beginning of the end. You managed to stay for the rest of the autopsy? I managed to stay for another year, and then I quit. He looks distressed by the memory and defaults to defensiveness. So you come over to grill me on my life choices? I catch his fingertips and hold his hand between mine. I didn't want to be anywhere else tonight. I was crawling out of my skin. I'm proud I had the courage to say it. He turns back to me, and the expression in his eyes is softer. My leg was jiggling like this. I demonstrate, and he grins. You should have seen me driving here. I was laughing like I'd broken out of prison. I was completely deranged. Do you think you've finally cracked your sanity? For sure. The weird need to stare at your pretty face completely overwhelmed me. I had the energy of 20 atom bombs. Why do you think I go to the gym so much? A big bubble of happiness fills me. I struggle upright and lean against him, my head falling easily into the perfect cradle of his neck. It's true. He fits me everywhere. You never have to explain your choices. Not to me. Not to anyone. He nods slowly, and I cover him in the blanket, too. I could never have imagined one day I'd be sitting on a couch, my mouth tasting like vanilla, with my head on Joshua Templeman's shoulder. It's going to end in disaster. I close my eyes and breathe. I want to know why you were so sad today, Shortcake. It's uncanny how he senses shifts in my mood. I just was. I was thinking about everything at stake for me. Tell me. I can't. You're my nemesis. You're awfully snuggly with your nemesis. It's true. I'm snuggling. I don't want to talk about me. We never talk about you. I probably don't know anything about you. He laces his fingers into mine and rests our hands on his stomach. I move my fingertips in tiny circles, and he sighs indulgently. Sure you do. Go on, list everything. I know surface things, the color of your shirts, your lovely blue eyes. You live on mints and make me look like a pig in comparison. You scare 3/4 of B&G employees absolutely senseless, but only because the other quarter haven't met you yet. He smirks. Such a bunch of delicate sissies. I keep ticking things off. You've got a pencil you use for secret purposes I think relate to me. You dry clean on alternate Fridays. The projector in the boardroom strains your eyes and gives you headaches. You're good at using silence to scare the shit out of people. It's your go-to strategy in meetings. You sit there and stare with your laser eyes until your opponent crumbles. He remains silent. Oh, and you're secretly a decent human being. You definitely know more about me than anyone else. I can feel a tension in him. When I look at his face, he looks shaken. My stalking has scared the ever-loving shit out of him. Unfortunately, the next thing I say sounds deranged. I want to know what's going on in your brain. I want to juice your head like a lemon. Why do you even want to know anything about me? I thought I was going to be your one glorious bout of hate sex to cross off your list before you settle down with some Mr. Nice Guy. I want to know what sort of person I'll be using and objectifying. What's your favorite food? Vanilla ice cream. Eaten from your bowl with your spoon. And strawberries. Dream vacation destination? Sky Diamond strawberries. When I level a frustrated look at him, he relents and points at the frame on his wall. That exact Tuscan villa. I want to climb inside that painting. What would you do there? Swim in a pool with a tile mosaic on the bottom? He smiles at how much that image delights me. Does the pool have a fountain somewhere? Like a little lion spitting water? Yes, it does. After the swim, I lie in the shade eating grapes and cheese. Then I'd have a big glass of wine and fall asleep with a book on my face. Basically, you've just described heaven. What happens then? I forgot to mention that a beautiful girl swam in that pool with me and slept in that sun, too. She's starving. I'd better take her out for pasta. Carbohydrates and oil, covered in cheese. I'm enjoying this food fantasy. I manage. I want to be that girl so badly I could howl. We'd walk back to the villa in the dark, and I'd pull down the zip of her red dress. I'd feed her champagne and strawberries in bed to keep her strength up. How are you coming up with this stuff? I'm so enraptured, I'm almost slurring. If this is what his holiday daydream is like, I wouldn't survive his bedroom. Then I'd wake up and do it all again the next day. With her. For weeks. I stare at the painting and imagine standing with him under the glittering dark purple sky, the headlights of faraway cars illuminating the rows of poplar trees lining the road. I have to say something. Anything. He's looking at me, clearly entertained. Lucky bitch. He laughs out loud at that. I fire off my next quiz question. You're shipwrecked onto an uninhabited island. What 3 things would you take with you? A knife? A tarpaulin? He thinks for a long time on the last item. And you. To annoy you, he amends. I'm not an object. I don't count. But I'd be so lonely on the island, he points out. I think of him sitting alone in the all-staff meeting. Okay, so we're crawling up the beach, and I'm cursing your name for pulling me away from civilization and hair care products and lipstick. What then? My shiver from the movement of his lips on my earlobe shakes the couch. When I feel the press of his mouth to my throat, I groan out loud. He turns the TV off, and for a moment, I'm certain he's about to walk me out. Or pick me up and throw me on his bed. It's hard to tell. He raises his hands into my hair, softly trailing his fingertips through it, until he reaches my scalp. My eyelids flutter. I'd build you a shelter and find you a coconut. And then we'd pass the time. How? My voice is barely more than a whisper. Probably like this. He presses his mouth to mine. Chapter 17. We both suck in a breath, and the room has no oxygen left. Last night, he picked me up under a streetlight and gave me a kiss that was calculated to leave me wanting more. Now I know what my problem has been today. I've been craving. Images of us and another life in Tuscany are still behind my eyelids as he kisses my mouth open, touches my tongue with his, and breathes. He sighs. He's wanted this. He's been craving as badly as I have. My mouth is vanilla, his is mint, and they combine to create something delicious. A miracle has occurred, and I don't know when, but I know it now. Joshua Templeman does not hate me. Not a bit. There's no way he could when he kisses me like this. He loosens one hand from my hair and spreads it across my jaw, stroking my skin, cupping and tilting my face. It's so completely sweet, even as our tongues begin to get filthy. I slide my knee over his lap, feeling my inner thighs stretch. I swore to myself I wouldn't come here tonight. Yet here you are. Interesting. We both look down at my thighs on his, and I can't stop myself from sliding my hips forward. This new position splices power and adrenaline into my blood. I put my hands on his collarbones and look him over. His hair is still a little damp. I cup the nape of his neck in my palm and press my hand against his heart. I start a slow slide down to his chest, ribs, testing the density of flesh. He's so firm I can trace the lines between each muscle, even through a t-shirt. I try to tug up the bottom of the shirt, but it's pinned under my knees. Impatience rips clean through me. I nearly tear his shirt off, but I force my fingers to loosen. He must see this flash of violent cavewoman, because he closes his eyes and his throat hums in a groan. Sometimes you look at me like you're... He forgets what he was saying when I begin to kiss his jaw. His hands lie, palms up on either side of my calves. He's letting me control this, and I like it. I feel him smile when I nibble against his bottom lip. The couch gives softly underneath my knees, and as our clothes begin to make a warm friction, I feel his arousal, hard and blunt, pressing into the back of my thigh. I need it, I tell him, and watch his eyes go viciously black. I take huge handfuls of his clothes, and we kiss again. I roll my hips slowly in his wide lap, and his hands slide down my body in a series of slow, squeezing pauses. Shoulders, underarms, the sides of my breasts. I shiver, and he slides his hands lower. Ribs, the curve of my waist. Hips, butt. His hands slide down my thighs, his long fingers dragging down the outer and inner seam of my jeans. He traces his fingers along my calves. When I drop my face to his neck, his hands tighten on my ankles. A little reminder he could take control if he wanted to. I like how little you are. He sure sounds like he likes my body as he takes another slow, stroking tour. As I slide my tongue into his mouth, I begin thinking about a board meeting we'd been in a few weeks back. He'd been sitting by the window, and I remember watching the sun slowly slide along the windowsill, across the floor, across the board table, as the afternoon dragged on. He'd been wearing a navy suit I don't see him wear often, and the pale blue shirt. I'd sat there opposite him, watching the way the sun slowly crept up his body like a rising tide. I'd breathed in the scent of the fabric warming on his body. I remember how he'd cut his dark blue eyes to me during the meeting, and it had flustered me, made my stomach twist in half. He'd smirked and resumed his patient staring at the PowerPoint presentation, not taking a single note, whereas my scribbling hand was cramping. Those eyes, flashing to my face, made me jump out of my skin. I hadn't known why. Now I do. I was remembering the board meeting a few weeks back. My head rolls to one side as he kisses under the hinge of my jaw. I have a full body shiver. His hand spreads across my ribs, thumb nudging the underside of my breast. My total focus narrows down to this half inch of contact. Yes, what about it? I'm not doing so well if you're thinking about it now. He returns his mouth to mine and dials it up a little. It's minutes before I can speak again. Possibly hours. My breath is in little gasping pants, and he bites down gently onto my bottom lip. His thumb slides up, nudges my nipple softly, and continues up to my jaw. I jolt and quiver. I have to explain myself properly. You looked at me and I think I wanted to kiss you. I only just realized. Oh, really? I'm rewarded by his other hand sliding up the back of my top, skin against skin, fingers playing languidly with my bra strap. I was remembering how you gave me this look. Like I was thinking about something dirty? I was. You were wearing your white silk shirt with the pearl buttons, and this soft-looking cardigan for the first half of the meeting. Hair up, red lips. He leans back and trails his fingertips down my throat to the top of my cleavage. His fingertips dip in. I shudder out the only thing I can think of. It's a cashmere cardigan. You like Dr. Josh. I like prissy retro librarian Lucy. Silk cashmere Lucy. That's my kink. A pencil in your hair, grilling a department head on absentee stats for last quarter. He continues his slide down my torso, fingers pressing into my ribs. What a specific kink. I can't believe you can remember what I was wearing. But hey, I can roll with this. I could get some nerd glasses and scold you. I frown sternly and hold my finger to my lips. Be quiet. He groans theatrically. I couldn't take it. Can you even imagine how it would be between you and me? All day, every night? He knows exactly what I mean. Oh, yeah. Like you said just before, the trick is to find someone who's strong enough to take it. The one person who can give it back as good as they get. Can you? His eyes look like he's on drugs. Pupils inked, irises hazy. Yeah. We kiss with a new intensity, sparked by our shared boardroom fantasies. Lucy and Josh starring in graphic, sweat-slicked pornography. He arches against me. His hard-on is pressing so hard against the back of my leg, my hamstring feels bruised. He breaks the kiss. Slow up. I want to ask you something. He sits back a little, and we stare into each other's black eyes. His mouth is softened, pink, and I want it all over me. Licking and biting mouthfuls of my flesh, my breathing is so loud that I almost can't hear what he says next. When you called me tonight, did you nearly call Danny instead? I start to protest, but he smooths his hand down my arm. I'm not being a jealous psycho. I'm just interested. You already won that competition with him. He's my friend now. We are only going to be friends. You haven't answered, though. He's the sensible option. I'm not doing many sensible things with my evenings these days. I'm glad I didn't call him. I'd probably be sitting in a movie instead of here. I bounce a little on his lap. Josh tries to smile, but it doesn't quite work. I'd go to a movie with you. Look, it's getting late. His hands slide down my back to grip my butt. He tilts me and drags me down the hardness of his arousal. Then he lifts me off and sets me aside. He sits forward on the edge of the couch and puts his face in his hands. He's breathing as heavily as I am. It does my ego no harm. Fuck. He sighs it. I am so turned on, he says with an embarrassed half-laugh, and I completely understand his desperation. He's surely got to be wondering why he's subjecting himself to this. He's an adult man, reduced to teenage make-out sessions with his weird colleague. Do you want to hear how turned on I am? I'd better not, he manages. I guess I should go home. I pray he tells me to stay. He doesn't. He talks through his hands. Give me a minute. I take our mugs and my bowl into the kitchen and rinse the bowl. I look at the frying pan and put it in the sink and fill it with hot water and suds. My legs are trembling and doing a poor job of holding me upright. I'll do it, Josh says behind me. Leave it. My eyes badly want to drop below his waist, but because I am a lady, I resist. He feeds my arms into my coat, and we both put our shoes on. We carefully stand on the opposite ends of the elevator, but we stare at each other like we're 1 second away from slamming the elevator to an emergency stop to put ourselves out of our misery. I feel like your Easter egg. He catches my hand at the curb and walks across the street with me. When we reach my car, I tilt my mouth up to his. He carefully takes my face in his hands and he kisses me. A simultaneous shocked gasp rocks us. It's like we haven't kissed in an eternity. He presses me against the car door and I whimper. Tongues, teeth, breath. You taste like my Easter egg. Please, please, I need you so badly. I'll see you at work tomorrow, he replies. He turns me in his arms and presses his mouth against the back of my neck. Even through my hair, the heat of his breath makes me inhale so hard it's more of a snort. Is this an asshole control freak thing? I wriggle free. Possibly. Sounds consistent with my character. I have a thought. Are you planning on sexing me comatose on the morning of the interview so you beat me? Josh puts his hands in his pockets. It's worked for every other promotion I've gotten in my life. Why stop now? You want to make sure I'm all over you like a rash at the wedding. Something about the look on his face makes me step back and press my back to the cold door of my car. You haven't lied and told them all about the brain surgeon you're betrothed to. He smiles. Dr. Lucy Hutton, M.D. She's brilliant, yet unorthodox. I'm serious. Answer the question. I'm coming as me, aren't I? I'm not supposed to be acting. No. I bite my thumb and look down the street. Why do I feel like he's lying? Well, I'm beginning to think you're leaving me horny to make sure I'll keep coming back here. I'm like a cat. You're leaving out a saucer of cream. Josh laughs, a big proper laugh like I'm hilarious. Delighted. Irritated electricity floods me. I'm crackling with it. In this moment, I'm more alive than I've ever been. Fight with me. Kiss me. Laugh at me. Tell me if you're sad. Don't make me go home. We'll have to see if it's true. If you're back tomorrow night, I'll concede it's part of a deliberate strategy. He looks down at me with undisguised pleasure. The thought of returning didn't properly occur to me. The following day now glows with promise. One more. He kisses my cheek and I groan in misery. Get out of here, shortcake. And remember, I don't want to see you freaking out tomorrow. I can't get my seatbelt on properly. I'm so wired, it's like I'm having drug withdrawals. He taps my window to make me lock the door. I'm halfway home when a scary thought crystallizes. I can't wait for work tomorrow. Today, his shirt is the color of a saucer of cream. Act natural, Lucy. Walk in there like sex on legs. No awkwardness. Go. He looks at me. My ankle wobbles and I drop my handbag. The lid of my lunchbox pops off and a tomato rolls across the floor. I drop to my hands and knees and my stiletto heel gets caught on the dangling buckle belt of my coat. Crap. I try to crawl. Smooth. Josh gets up and walks to me. Shut up. He unhooks my coat and gathers up my lunch before holding a hand down to me. I hesitate minutely before I take it, letting him haul me up. Can I rewind my entrance? He pulls the coat from my shoulders and hangs it up for me. Mr. Bexley's door is open and the lights are on. Elaine's a late starter. She's probably still in bed. How was your evening, Lucinda? You look tired. My stomach sinks in dismay at his impersonal tone until I look at his face and realize his eyes are lit with mischief. If Mr. Bexley is eavesdropping, he'll hear nothing out of the ordinary. This is a dangerous new game, the act natural game, but I'll give it a try. Oh, it was nice enough, I guess. Nice. Get up to anything interesting? He's got the pencil in his hand. I sat on the couch. He shifts in his chair and I look at his lap. Serial killer eyes, I mouth at him. I sit on the edge of my desk, take out my tube of flamethrower, and begin to apply, using the wall nearest me as a mirror. He looks at my legs with such naked lust I nearly smudge it. And what did you get up to, Josh? I had a date. At least, I think it was. What's she like? Clingy. She really threw herself at me. I laugh. Clingy is not an attractive trait. I hope you kicked her out. I guess I sort of did. That'll learn her. I begin to gather my hair into a high bun before smoothing down my dress. It's a fine cream wool knit, stretchy and warm, and I admit I wore it to match his shirt. He likes Prissy Librarian Lucy? He's got it today. He watches my hands. I watch his. They're white-knuckled. Not sure if I'll see her again, though. He sounds bored, and he's clicking his mouse on his computer. When his eyes cut sideways to mine, I flash to last night, and my insides clench. Maybe take her to your brother's wedding. Always gratifying to walk into one of those situations with a hot date. We both look at each other, and I ease myself slowly into my chair. The staring game has never felt so dirty. The phone rings. I look at the caller ID and the word, fuck, lights up in neon in my brain. Josh takes one look at my face. If it's him, I'm going to. It's Julie. A bit early for her, isn't it? You're going to have to be firm with her. The phone continues ringing and ringing. I'll let it go to voicemail. I'm too tired to deal with this now. You will not? He dials *9 and answers my extension. They teach call center operators to smile when they answer a call. People can hear a smile in your voice. Joshua needs to learn this. Lucinda Hutton's phone. Joshua speaking. Hold. He hits a button and points at me with his receiver. Do it. I'm watching you. We both watch the hold light flashing. I'm still that smiling girl in the strawberry patch. Look at me. I'm a good girl. I'm this sweet little thing, adored by everyone. Nothing is too much trouble. I want to see you be as strong with other people as you are with me. I press the flashing button. Hi, Julie. How are you? My ear nearly burns from her deep sigh. Hi, Lucy. I'm not well. I'm incredibly tired. I don't even know why I came in. I've just sat down and already the screen is killing me. Sorry to hear that. I lock eyes with Josh. He intensifies his eyes into narrowed, scary blue lasers. He's imbuing me with his powers. I am not going to care what excuses or requests she's going to make. What can I do for you today, Julie? Professional, but a hint of warmth in my tone. I'm supposed to be working on this thing for Alan, which she's going to polish up and send to you. Oh, yes. I need it by close of business. Josh gives me a sarcastic thumbs up. Well, I'm having a bit of trouble finding some of the old reports in the network drive. It keeps saying shortcut moved. Anyway, I've tried a bunch of things, and I think I need to step away, you know? As long as I get it by 5, it's fine. Josh looks at the ceiling and shrugs. I thought I was being firm there, but he's unimpressed. I was hoping to go home and get it done first thing tomorrow when I'm fresher. Didn't you just get here? Am I going crazy? I recheck the clock. I came in quickly to check my email. Her tone is that of an absolute trooper. Alan said it would be okay if I cleared it with you first. She's jingling her car keys in the background. I steel myself with blue laser strength. I'm sorry. That's not going to work for me. I need it by 5, please. I'm aware of the deadline, she counters, voice sharpening by 1 degree. I'm trying to let you know Alan is not going to have it to you on time. But it's really you who needs the extension, not Alan. There's a long pause while I wait for her to speak. I thought you'd be a bit more flexible on this. Her tone is slipping further into an impressive combination of petulance and ice. I am unwell. If you do need to go home... I begin as I watch Joshua's brow transform into a scowl. You'll need to take today as sick leave and bring a doctor's note. I'm not going to the doctor for tiredness and a headache. He'll tell me to sleep. That's what I want to go and do. I'm sympathetic if you're feeling unwell, but that's the HR policy. Josh smooths his hand over his mouth to hide his grin. I'm playing the HR game with Julie. Sympathetic? I wouldn't call this sympathetic at all. I've been fair with you, Julie. I've given you extensions a lot of times, but I can't keep staying late to finish these reports. Josh circles his hand in the air. I keep going. If it's late, I end up having to stay back. You don't have any family here or a boyfriend, do you? Late nights don't affect you like they do for people with husbands and, well, people with families. Well, I'm not going to get myself a husband or a life if I keep staying until 9 o'clock at night now, am I? I'll expect the report from Alan at 5. You've spent too much time in the company of that horrible Joshua. Apparently so. Also, I can't do the internship for your niece. It's not convenient for me. I terminate the call. Joshua lies back in his chair and starts laughing. Well, shit. I was amazing, wasn't I? Did you see me? I punch the air and mime, giving Julie an uppercut. Josh rests his folded hands on his stomach and watches me shadowbox my reflection. Take that, Julie, and your life and husband and your phony sleep disorder. Let it all out. Take that, Julie, and your migraines. You really were amazing. Take that, Julie, and your French manicure. Okay. He's smiling at me, openly, in this exact office that was once a battlefield, and I flop back down into my chair and close my eyes and feel the glow of his pleasure from across the marble superhighway. So this is what it feels like. This is what it could have been like all this time. It wasn't too late. No more late nights for me. I probably totally destroyed my relationship with her, but... it was so worth it. You'll have a life and a husband in no time. No time at all. Probably by next week. I hope he's super nice. I open my eyes, and the way he looks at me makes me wish I hadn't said it. We both hesitate, and his eyes flick sideways. I've interrupted our flow. Please, let me enjoy this moment. Joshua Templeman is officially my friend. I link my fingers and stretch my arms over my head.
I'm going for my breakfast meeting, Josh. I need those figures by lunch, Mr. Bexley says, walking in between us.
I think we all know this breakfast meeting is with a plate of bacon.
They're already done. I'll email them through now.
Mr. Bexley harumphs, I suppose his best attempt at thanks or praise, and then turns to me.
Good morning, Lucy. Nice dress you've got on there.
Thanks.
Ugh. Got your nails sharpened, do you then? Interview's coming soon. Tick-tock.
He ambles to the edge of my desk and peruses me from the neck down. I resist the urge to cross my arms over myself. I don't know how Mr. Bexley hasn't noticed Josh's murderous glare refracted dozens of times. He continues his usual gimlet-eyed assessment of my appearance.
Don't, Josh says to his boss, voice metallic.
I'm pretty well prepared for the interview. I look down at my friend. Mr. Bexley, what are you looking at?
I calmly level my eyes at Mr. Bexley, and he physically jolts. He quickly averts his eyes and begins to comb his fingers through his sparse hair, his face burnished red.
Man, I kick ass today.
Josh clenches his jaw and looks down at his glass desk so angrily I'm surprised it doesn't shatter.
From the little sneak peek I had in Elaine's office, I do think you're well prepared. Dr. Josh, we may need to discuss strategy.
Holy shit. He's going to tell Joshua about my project. I swing my panicked stare to Josh, who looks at his boss like he is an absolute idiot. And then he reminds me that no, he is not my friend, and no matter how much kissing we do on his couch, we're still in the middle of our biggest competition.
I'm not going to need any help beating her.
Chapter 18. He's cold as ice, and the tone gives me flashbacks. He says it like it is the most ridiculous thing he's ever heard. Silly little Lucy Hutton, impossible to take seriously, and absolutely no match for Joshua Templeman in any arena. I'm a joke. I'm not getting the job because why would I? I have to be coached through a phone call.
Maybe not, Mr. Bexley muses.
Clearly pleased to have kicked over two beehives, he plods off. As he waits for the elevator, he looks back at us.
But then again, Dr. Josh, you may want to rethink that.
The elevator door closes as Josh's silently mouthed, "Fuck you," fragments around us. Then he looks at me. I was lying. The silence rings like crystal wine glasses touched together. Well, you're quite a good actor. I sure believed it. I pick up my bottle of water and sip, trying to ease the angry tightness in my throat. I'm actually grateful to him. This is what I've been missing. We're two racehorses pounding toward the finish line. I've been flagging, but I've just felt the first lash of the whip. I need to hold on to this feeling until I walk out of the interview. I always have been. I was mad at him for looking at you like that, and it came out wrong. I've got a bad habit of snapping. Look at me, Luce. When I do, he repeats himself slowly. I did not mean it. It's all right. It's what I needed. I use the same flat, icy tone that he just used with Bexley. I have no idea how I can make my voice so cold when anger feels like a blowtorch in my chest. I'm a good actor, too. His forehead has his trademark crease of concern.
You needed that? Me being an asshole? It's all you seem to get from me.
You've just given me what I needed to hear. Life is all about perspective, and if I choose to believe I've just received a boost to my motivation from my competitor, I can ignore my bruised pride. I am going to keep my focus forward. My focus is now a laser beam that he has given me. My computer chimes. 5 minutes until I have my meeting with Danny to discuss working on my ebook project.
Wait. We need to clear this up. I can't quite explain it yet, though.
His face twists in agitation. The timing is all off. I didn't mean it the way it sounded. I'm going out. I begin gathering my bag and coat.
And where are you going? In case Elaine asks me.
He amends. He looks miserable.
Are you coming back?
I'm meeting someone for coffee.
Well, Josh says after a second, I can't stop you.
Thank you for allowing me to do my job. After spitefully pushing his in-trays crooked, I march to the elevator. I walk to the Starbucks across the street. The thing about being in combat with Joshua Templeman, I never truly win. That's what is so deceptive about it all. The moment I think I've won, something happens to remind me I haven't. Please let me enjoy this moment,
Joshua Templeman is officially my friend. It's nothing but win, then lose, lose, lose.